Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Inside the Net is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, episode 37 for October 17th, 2006. Mozilla 2.0. Inside the Net is brought to you by Dell. For great values on a new PC or laptop, visit Leo's Picks page at twit.tv/Dell. Welcome to Inside the Net. We are live from Toronto from the No Regrets Bar and Grill, a place that Amber seems to hang out quite a bit in.
And I have no regrets at all for being here. Many nights because they have free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we're glad to be back with another Inside the Net live from Toronto. This time we're going to talk about Mozilla 2.0. I didn't realize this, but Toronto seems to be a hotbed for Mozilla development.
Yeah, there's a lot of Mozilla people around the city. I run into them all over the place. And the funny thing is, most of them are named Mike.
We've got one of them here, Michael Goldman, who is... Michael Glenn and Jay Goldman. I'm sorry. Michael Glenn and Jay Goldman, who is kind of the odd man out, not having a name Mike.
I know. They're with Radiant Core, so we'll let them off the hook.
They're not exactly Mozilla's.
We're close, though.
Radiant Core is web development, web design.
That's right.
So how did you get involved in working on Mozilla?
We're old friends with some of the Mozilla guys. We've done a whole bunch of work with them in the past on various other projects. And so when it came time to do the user interface for Firefox 2, they went looking for design firms. And there were three names put forward as firms that they felt were capable of capturing what they were trying to do. We were one of the three. We all submitted proposals, and they liked our stuff, and we got selected to do the actual work.
And Mike, what do you do at Radiant Core?
I am the VP of Technology at Radiant Core, so I'm more of the behind the scenes as it is. So I focus on architecture and the integration with our product foundation when we build websites. And in this case, my role was to integrate the look and feel into Mozilla, into Firefox, at the Zool layer. That's the extensible user interface layer.
That's one of the neat things about Mozilla in general is that the user interface is completely independent of the engine and fairly easy, am I wrong, but it seems like it's fairly easy to design for.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're a web developer, it's actually a lot like writing a web page. And the fun thing is the tools actually can take a look at themselves. So the DOM inspector that you might use if you were writing a web page can actually take apart the Mozilla interface itself.
Wow.
So you can actually take apart the interface of the browser inside the browser, which makes it a whole lot easier to actually build stuff for.
That's very cool. That's really neat. So Mozilla 2 is, we're not sure because we're doing this before it ships. I think by the time this comes out, it will have shipped. Late October is the expected time frame, yeah? Yeah.
And what are some of the challenges that you guys have had with the actual design? Because it's a pretty big deal, like, working on one of the most popular browsers around. Well, most popular in the geek world, I should say.
Yeah, there were a lot of really interesting challenges. One of the biggest ones really is the cross-platform. So because we're designing for Macs, we're designing for Windows machines, and we're designing for Linux. And on top of that, we're currently designing for Windows XP, but with an eye towards Vista, which should be shipping, you know, any day now. So one of the big challenges was, how do we design an interface which is going to look like a native application when it's running on a Mac or on a PC, but it still has that unique sense of being Firefox and not being a different web browser. The basics are the same. The buttons are in the same places. They do the same things. But what we did was tweak some of the things like color palette and that kind of thing. So on XP, we're picking up the Windows XP color palette. On the Mac, we're picking up the Mac color palette. Mac tends to be a little bit glossier, so we did a little bit glossier. XP tends to be a little bit more sort of bright and colorful, so we did that a little bit more. So that was definitely one of the things where we tried to leverage the native feel as much as possible. But then there was also a desire that Firefox looked like Firefox, whether it was running on a Mac or whether it was running on a PC. So one of the challenges was trying to make sure that it did actually look like it was running a Mac or on a PC.
As we went to the integration level, Big challenge for us is that we hadn't jumped into Zool before, so we had to really get familiar with the language and how you differentiate between the different operating systems, and also how to work with a group which is really spread out across North America and across the world. And Mozilla's had a lot of experience in this over the years now, and they've set up some great processes for working online with, I think in the IRC channel where they chat, we've had up to maybe 50 people in there at one time, and you they're really, really helpful.
When you go in there, they're all in there.
Yeah.
Any time of the day or night.
Well, they're there all the time. I was working at 1 in the morning at one point.
I think at 1 in the morning, people. It's more full of
people
than it is.
Yeah, it's more busy. They tend to work better at night, I guess. But very, very helpful and excellent team of people to work with.
Did they see it as a little... How do they handle the idea that an outside design firm was being brought in to work on UI?
I think maybe at the beginning of the project there was a little bit of resistance. There was a little bit of sort of, why have we hired these guys? And so
we can do UI.
Right, exactly. And I think a lot of developers, and maybe Mike's kind of an exception because we've been working together for so many years now that he's sort of cured himself of the belief that he can do design work. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike.
No, I throw my hands up and I say, you know what? I leave it to the experts and right. I'll work on what my strength is.
But I think there was a little bit of resistance at the beginning and we sort of proved ourselves early. It was sort of like, I've never been to jail personally, but I always hear that the best thing you can do when you go to jail is get into a fight on your first day because everyone leaves you alone. So it was like, all right, our first design has to be something that's really great.
Right.
And they're going to, take one look at that and go, okay, yeah, now I understand why we've brought these guys in to work on it. And so we really tried hard. We worked with a fantastic designer who was actually originally a founder of Radiant Core, moved on to do some other stuff, and he came back to work on this project with us, Sean Martel, and he did an amazing job with the early design work that we did, and I think that was really what sort of convinced everyone that these guys know what they're talking about.
What was the mission they gave you? What was your assignment?
Make Firefox 2 basically look more modern. So the 1.5 UI was great, the theme was fantastic, and people really liked it, but it was time for it to get updated. We knew that we had Internet Explorer 7 breathing down our necks, so we've all played with some of the betas. We know a little bit what it's going to look like, and they've really cleaned it up a lot in terms of interface. So one of our challenges was we need to make sure that we're staying basically neck to neck with the competition. We need to make sure that we're at least as good looking as Internet Explorer 7 is, and I think we definitely achieved that. But one of the big things was actually clean up some of the usability things. Try and make things a little bit easier to use and a little bit easier to understand. So, as an example, the search box has changed a lot in Firefox 2. It's now a lot easier to see that you have the option of changing to different search plugins. So you don't have to use Google if you want to just switch to Yahoo, or you want to install the Wikipedia plugin, or you want to do a different plugin like that. It's really easy to see that you can do that now. So part of it was make it look better, but part of it was also expose some of the underlying usability things that people didn't really know about.
And in order to make it more modern, were there sites or other browsers that you looked at to really draw inspiration from?
Yeah, I think, that's sort of a platform-specific question. So on Windows, we were looking at Internet Explorer 7. On the Mac, we were looking at Safari. And we were looking at Opera on both. And we just wanted to make sure that, as an ecosystem of browsers, Firefox 2 was going to fit in and still look like a web browser, but still be a little bit distinctive, and people would know that they were using Firefox, whether they were on a Mac or on a PC. And as I said earlier, also that if they're using it on a Mac, it looks like a Mac application. And there were places where Firefox 1.5, particularly on the Mac, a little less so on Windows, didn't really look like a Mac application. So we tried to clear some of those up as much as we could.
We had to make some tough decisions because on Windows, currently Firefox isn't aware of whether it's being installed on Windows 2000 XP or Vista. And so we had to early on make a decision, are we going to, sort of default it to an XP look, or are we going to prepare for Vista? And so we went more to the XP side because based on the Vista release timeline, it was felt that at this point, most users are going to be on XP. Even though Vista is coming out hopefully in January, it's going to be rolled out. It's going to take some time before it's adopted.
Will you do more skins? Will you have a Vista skin that we could then apply if we get Vista?
Yeah, there may be. I mean, we as Radiant Core may do one. We're hoping that Mozilla...
Users will do one. That's
use, and absolutely, sure. Yeah. And there are actually, in fact, already themes appearing for Firefox 2.
Right.
We're hoping that we get asked to come back again for Firefox 3 and
is
get a chance to
do some. Is the theme engine very different
stuff
for 2?
The theme engine itself hasn't changed, but we had to change some of the underlying Zool to accommodate some of the things that changed in
so,
Firefox 2.
So design for 1.5 will not work on 2?
It probably will, but there will be a couple places where it might break. like? We tried actually to make things a little bit easier for theme designers. So previously, the icon sizing was different between Mac and Windows versions of Firefox. So on the Mac, they were using 32 by 32 icons, and on Windows, they were using 24 by 24. And so we've actually standardized to 24 by 24. So if you're a theme designer, you should now be able to do one size of icons and get away with both platforms. So there were a couple places where we tried to make life a little bit easier for them. That was definitely a challenge, deciding if we were going to make people run a Vista look and feel on XP or the other way around.
Yeah.
It's sort of interesting, some of the comments that we got back from early releases of it, where people were saying it was too shiny. And we were sort of laughing to ourselves because we were thinking, you know, if you think that's too shiny,
wait till you see Vista. Right. Which is very shiny.
Which is very shiny. So, yeah. That was actually, the public feedback was amazing. And we were told early on by the Mozilla guys, if 90% of people hate us, we're doing pretty well. People really don't like change. They don't like to see their browser change. And the people who respond and download betas are really, really early adopters. And they're the people who are really passionate about this stuff. So those are the people who are going to get really upset when we change the browser. And so their past experience suggests that when you change the theme, if 10% of people like it, we're doing well. And from our early releases, we were looking more like somewhere around 75-80% of people really liked what we'd done, and 20% were complaining. And that sort of blew everyone away, and we went, wow, that was fantastic. I guess people really like what we're doing. And we've ended up at a place, I think, where, for the most part, everyone's really, really happy with it. And there are still some people out there who really hate it, but the beauty of Firefox is if they really don't like it, they can go download a theme that they do like.
Yeah, they can make it look exactly the way they want.
And what's it like as designers designing something where you have a community who's constantly giving you feedback? Because I've worked in the design industry before.
With one client.
Client who was a bit of a pain. No, I'm kidding. With multiple clients where, you know, you never had that chance to actually put it out there to a community and get people kind of bashing you. What does that feel like?
The day that the first beta came out that had our stuff in it was a bit tense around the office, I think.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand numbers like 20 million people use this browser every day. The easiest way that we could sort of relate to that was that it's four times the population of Toronto, which is, you know, 5 million people, so that makes 20 million. So it was kind of a tense day the first day it came out, and we were watching, and then it got dug and went right into the front page of Dig, and so we were watching there, and we were slowly the comments started to come in, and we were sort of feeling, okay, you know what, I think we've actually done a pretty good job. People seem to be pretty happy with it.
It was interesting, the comments that came out during the first screenshots that we sent out, and then when the actual first release that people could use came out, it was very different once people started using it. A little more critical. More critical. Because I think once it, you know, you sort of see a screenshot and you say, oh, that looks really pretty. But then when you start using it, you say, oh, the hover states of the buttons, I'm not too sure of these colors. My favorite comment was that the handle on the door in the home icon was not quite off-center or high enough.
It was exactly centered in the door, and real doorknobs.
Yeah, are these guys hobbits?
Real doorknobs are apparently slightly above or below center of the door. And I mean, really, the door handle on the home icon is one pixel big. Literally one pixel big. So, you know, that was the level that people were looking at. And one of the, fun parts about it is because Mozilla runs Bugzilla, which is an open source bug tracking system, which is open to anybody. Anybody could jump in and open bugs on the theme. So we'd start to get this flood of emails.
UI bugs?
UI bugs. Some of them were legitimate bugs. You know, you can't do this, or this is broken. Or
some of them were just things that
some of them were like, I don't like these icons.
That's not a bug. That's a feature.
Yeah.
But, full credit to the Mozilla team. They're really good at jumping in there and saying, that's not a bug.
Right.
If you're not happy with it, go into one of the Google group discussions or go into one of the public forums and say you don't like the bug, but it's not, or that you don't like the look, but it's not actually a bug.
We're talking with Michael Glenn and Jay Goldman of Radiant Core about the new Mozilla 2.0, which will ship any day now. We'll have more with them and Amber, and we'll find out about the big surprise that the Mozilla organization laid on Radiant Core midway through the development. But before we go on, I want to remind you that this podcast is sponsored by Dell. As always, Dell computers power much of what we do, both on TV, on the radio, and on Twit. And if you're looking for a new Windows PC, there's no better place to go than Dell. Take a look at our picks. The Leo's Picks page is on twit.tv/Dell. Some great prices on some great equipment. And some of my favorites, some recommendations too. twit.tv/Dell. And if you're buying a new computer, we'd appreciate it if you'd go through those links so that we get credit for it. We thank you, Dell, for your support. And now back to the lovely No Regrets Bar and Grill in Toronto with Amber MacArthur, Jay Goldman, and Michael Glenn of Radiant Core.
And how do you think this was different in terms of designing a browser than designing an actual website? Because you guys have done so much website design.
I think the implementation, from my perspective, was a lot more challenging because it was an area that was new to me. Certainly getting the initial theme implemented was fairly straightforward, but we got lost in the nitty-gritty of the implementation because you had to deal with things like Hebrew and Arabic, which are right to left instead of left to right, and get caught up in that.
Yeah, that was kind of a fun day at the office when Mozilla remembered to let us know
by the way,
the theme had to work the other way.
They didn't tell you?
No, nobody said anything until it was posted.
Like that, actually.
By the way, it's broken in right to left, and we all went, what's right to left?
What is that?
Oh, no.
So luckily, the Mac version of Firefox doesn't yet support RTL mode, so we didn't have to worry about it for the Mac. It was just like, okay, well, now we'll have to redo everything for Windows.
Wow.
I think from a design perspective, your first impulse as a designer is, I'm going to make this look fantastic. And
right.
We had a moment where we all sort of stepped back and said, you know what? And this is sort of, and I think if you, I hope this comes through if you download Firefox 2. We all took a moment and stepped back and said, actually, we don't need to look fantastic. We need to be secondary to the content that loads in the browser. And
that's
so,
like TV people, Liam. Content is key. We don't have to look good.
No, you don't want to get in the way of
it. But you guys do look good. So.
That's why it's an audio podcast. Anyway, go ahead.
One of the themes that came up early in the design exploration was muted colors, nothing really bright and flashy, nothing really in your face, because you're in a web browser. The most important thing is what loads in the page, not what it looks like around it or what the back button looks like. And so that was a bit of a design challenge, was build something that looks really good, but that doesn't jump out and get in your face right away. And so that we spent quite a lot of time around that, actually.
I think Jay puts it best when he says that we went for an evolution, not a revolution in the design. A lot of the comments, and probably one of the most predominant comments that we got when we released it was, wow, they didn't really change it all that much.
Yeah, it's, and you don't see it initially if you just glance at it.
And we didn't want a radical change.
Nice, subtle stuff that does make a big difference. Did you just do the look, or were there some functional changes in the way it works?
We worked with the Mozilla team on some functional changes. They did sort of more of the underlying functional stuff, but we sort of worked with them on what some of the stuff should look like, particularly around the tab strip and the search bar. So some of the stuff in there, like the when you hit a website that's got an embedded search plugin, the browser will now detect that search
that
plugin.
That little glow there.
Yeah, so the glow was
very nice.
The glow was something that we came up with.
Oh.
I did the glow.
It's
neat because it's subtle. It doesn't jump out at you, but it's clearly a change that you can see. It's
what
really
we went with things like the glow was, people don't necessarily, and I think maybe the glow is something that you actually have to play with the browser to understand what we're talking about, but I think people don't look at it and go, oh, I understand there's a new search plugin available, but what they do is click on it because it's glowing and they want to know why.
Right.
So it's like a little tease of, click here, something's, you know, we found something that you'll be interested
just
in.
Just so you understand, when you go to a site that has its own search, in the past you've been able to add these searches, but it's been kind of convoluted to add the search to Mozilla. Now the little button, the search area, there's a little glow. You can click it, get a drop down, and it says add this search to my search.
And so when you're building a website, all you have to do is write a search plugin, which is one file. I think it took us about 5 minutes to build the one for our website. And then you just embed it on your page with a specific link, and that's how Firefox picks it up and knows that it's there. So it's the same way you would do an RSS feed or something like that, and then the browser automatically picks it up.
Everybody's got to do that. That's a really nice feature.
Oh, yeah. I use those all the time.
I think we spent a lot of time on those little subtle things. You know, how can we make the experience better but not overwhelming? Firefox has a lot of power in it, in that it has a lot of options, and you can add extensions. And we always want to put more in, but at the same time, you don't want to detract from the experience and overwhelm the user with lots of things flashing, popping and that sort of thing.
What happens when they skin it? Does it completely replace what you've done?
It's sort of up to you. You can skin certain parts of it. Some people, for example, really don't like the go button that's attached to the address bar, so they'll just take the go button out, but the rest of the theme is exactly the same. So it's sort of up to you. You've actually got a lot of flexibility in terms of how much you actually want to skin it. You can go from basically one or two icon changes to the entire browser.
Right. Will the glow go away, or is that...
You would have to skin the glow away if you didn't want it to happen anymore, or you can just replace the glow with your own effect that basically gets turned on and off by the same trigger.
Got it.
So
really what you did was a skin.
Yeah. Now, there were some... The difference between just doing a straight skin...
Right.
I mean, we were doing the default theme for Firefox 2.
Right.
But the difference between a straight skin for Firefox 1.5 and doing the theme for Firefox 2 was there were some underlying Zool changes, which you wouldn't do if you were just normally skinning the browser.
Uh-huh.
So the tab strip is a good example, which the way that the tab strip works in 2.0 is a bit of an evolution from where it was in 1.5. So things like we now have an overflow mode. If you have too many tabs to fit in your window, they'll actually disappear off the edge, but you can scroll left and right inside the tab strip and find those extra tabs, which is great if you've got a lot of tabs. You can also reorganize your tabs so you can drag and drop tabs in a different order.
I love that feature.
Things like that were underlying changes to the way the browser's UI is actually put together. So that required us and Mozilla to go into the code base and actually change the way that worked. You wouldn't do that normally if you were skinning it. Now, though, if you built a skin for Firefox 2, you can take advantage of those things. So you can now skin those particular parts of the browser as well.
It's open source. Do you publish kind of the Zool open source as well?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, if you grab your browser file and unpack it, you'll find all the Zool in there. So you can actually just take your copy of Firefox, open it up, and find the source.
You can see what Radiant Core
is doing. If your listeners are interested in modifying it, it's very analogous, almost identical, to HTML and CSS. The only difference is that instead of standard HTML elements, there's Zool elements, and instead of standard CSS, Mozilla has extended it with some custom CSS that the browser recognizes.
Essentially,
it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Is there JavaScript too in this?
Yeah. In fact, most of the browser's inner sort of UI elements, a lot of them run on JavaScript. If listeners are interested, the Mozilla Developer Connection has fantastic resource about that kind of stuff. So the MDC site. There's also a site called Zool Planet. Zool is X-U-L. So if you can check out Zool Planet, you'll find all sorts of great resources there. There's a huge tutorial on Zool Planet about learning Zool, and that's actually where we all started. So we went and ran through the tutorial.
Yeah. So you had no idea when you started this.
No, we really came from a user perspective.
You might say we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into.
But we
started basically from scratch when we jumped in there. The other thing that you build in Zool is extensions. So if you want to build an extension to Firefox, which is sort of the heading of add-on includes a bunch of different things. Themes are one of them. Extensions are another one. If you want to build an extension, you also do it in Zool. So learning Zool allows you to do theming, but it also allows you to do extensions as well.
I'm a big Firefox extension fan, as Leo knows, because I've slowed down his Firefox browser a few times.
I don't know what we're going to do with that. You on Call for Help. That was the bones of Call for Help was all the great Firefox
extensions. Trying to get people at CityTV to really buy into Firefox, and also the Googlepedia extension, which is my favorite extension in the world, that allows you to see Wikipedia results at the same time that you see Google results. And that's the one Firefox extension I have to say that I cannot live without. It's fantastic. I love it.
So I don't know if you've seen this. It divides the page in half. The left half is your Google search. The right half is your Wikipedia.
I gotta go grab that.
So
one.
If I did it, it was a search on Google for Leo Laporte, I would have all of these different blog postings, and it's kind of a mess of Google results. There could be thousands and thousands. But on the right-hand side, I have the Wikipedia entry with a nice photo of Leo and all the information. So really, I'm almost doing a Wikipedia search every time, but I have Google results to accompany it on the left-hand side if I'm interested in that.
Because I often want to do exactly that, Google and Wikipedia at the same time, so that's a good one.
This is why we love Amber. I don't know what we're going to do with that.
I know. I have one really kind of general question for you guys, just because I'm curious how you think that people are going to start to actually care about what browser they're using, because I find a lot of people, they don't know, they don't necessarily care, and we're kind of early adopters.
In the real world, you see that nobody really knows.
Yeah, a lot of people don't really know, and they don't know the difference. So just in your opinion, in terms of looking at Firefox a little bit more closely, do you think there's going to be a point where people, you know, in a year down the road really say, hey, I'm proud to use Firefox more than just the 10 or 20% or whatever it is?
I think it's sort of, in some ways, it's the same question as why do people choose Macs instead of PCs? A lot of people use PCs because they didn't know there was an alternative, or they didn't know about Macs, or they'd heard all kinds of bad things about Macs and they'd never chosen to use them. And I think you're starting to see a sort of turning point where we go out to geek functions and, you know, we'll be up on stage presenting and I look out into the audience and it's now starting to become all these blowing apples looking back at me, whereas it used to just be
it's
PC
so
laptops.
True. It's changed, hasn't it? I know.
And I think what you're getting are the early adopters are using Macs and they're running Firefox on them. What you get the sort of trickle down of, you know, 2 or 3 years out from that, when they start replacing their machines, all those Macs get pushed off to people. But whenever somebody comes to them and says, what kind of computer do they buy, they'll now say, go buy a Mac, especially if you're a home user and you're mostly doing home stuff. So I think you get the same effect with web browsers. You get the early adopters all switched over to Firefox because they don't want to run Internet Explorer, and or because of extensions. I mean, the biggest difference on the Mac between Safari and Firefox is the huge wealth of Firefox extensions that are out there. And you can extend Safari. A lot of people don't know that. There are some great sites out there for Pimp My Safari is probably the best one. But you can download all kinds of extensions to Safari. But it's not. I don't think it's as easy or as intuitive to do it as it is for Firefox. And there isn't the wealth of extensions. So I think that would sort of be my answer. I think the early adopters are all Firefox users now. And what we're starting to see a big swing in the increase of percentage of Firefox use is that trickle-down effect of early adopters passing it down to other people who are starting to pick it up.
That said, there are certain barriers or walls I think you come up against when you're trying to get things adopted. The biggest challenge for the Mac, and I think one of the biggest challenges for Firefox, is the corporate environment. You know, you have to sort of, corporations like to standardize. They like to know that there's certain support systems. I know that that's been sort of a weak area on the Macintosh side. And we've talked to Mozilla about it, and I said, you know, what are the plans for Firefox? And I think it was Mike Shaver came back with an interesting comment. He said, yeah, we could go after that as Mozilla. But he said, I think there's a fantastic business opportunity for a third-party company.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's analogous to any sort of Linux situation like Red Hat, where they can take advantage of it and say, you know, this is an area of service that you can provide. You can extend Firefox and have corporate support. And I think those sorts of tiers, along with what Jay is saying in terms of recommendations from the initial users, are going to continually push that.
That open source thing is actually really interesting because a lot of the comments that came back when people started playing with the browser was, why didn't you build this in? Where this was basically their favorite extension. And you have to really bite your tongue when you're involved in the project. It's not our place to go and reply to all of those posts. As much as we wanted to jump into Dig and start commenting back, and as much as we wanted to jump into the Google groups, you have to understand as people who work on the project that if we start doing that, then we basically say, we'll respond to anything. And then we get dragged into all of the conversations. So we read them all, but we couldn't actually respond. But the response to that is, if we did that, there wouldn't be an ecosystem of people who build extensions to the browser. And so, in a way, I guess, people who make operating systems have the same challenge. You could sort of keep growing your operating system by adopting really popular applications and building them in, but then you start killing off third-party developers. And Mozilla has very much the same attitude, is we shouldn't build things that you can do very well with an extension. But if 90% of people are installing an extension to do this, it's probably a shortcoming of the browser.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, Dvorak used to test people to see if they were savvy users. He'd say, what a search engine do you use? If they still said Yahoo or AOL, he'd go, you're a newbie. If they said Google, he said, you're paying attention. I think now that's the question. What browser do you use? If they still say Internet Explorer, they're probably new to the Internet.
Absolutely.
They're not really paying attention. If they say Firefox, they're either listening to us or, you know, they really are savvy.
I think that's true. I mean, I do that all the time when I meet people. If they're Firefox users, I immediately love them.
Yeah, well, you assume they know what they're doing.
They're in the in crowd, right?
Right.
And you do assume that. And it's just it's kind of like this bond. But at the same time, I want everybody to use Firefox because it's so powerful and so amazing. And it's hard to convert them, but I'm trying.
Well, every time I have friends and family that want me to fix their computer, I just erase that little blue
first
E on their desktop and I replace it with a Firefox icon and say Internet on it.
That's the first thing did at my new job.
Yeah, that's right.
Again, you're lucky because I guess Citi doesn't prevent you from installing software. So a lot of people have that challenge.
You know, that's actually an interesting
comment. Yeah, a lot of corporations lock it down.
Yeah, because they do. You're not supposed to download certain things, obviously, the corporate machines. But for some reason, the Firefox download works. So I tried it. But they know I'm a big Firefox user. And I felt, you know, when I'm doing stuff on the show that I wanted to be using Firefox.
If people see your bits on Citi TV and they know it's Firefox, the geeks go, oh, she's okay. She gets it.
She's one of
us. If you were using it in an Explorer, I'd say, oh, another reporter who doesn't really get it. When we were doing the site on MSNBC, a Microsoft property, I made sure that everybody who came on the show had a choice between Internet Explorer, and at the time it was Netscape. There was no Firefox or Mozilla even. And I was, a lot of people said, why do you even offer Netscape? You're Microsoft. I said, because, you know, people should have the choice. And a lot of people did choose Netscape. It was kind of interesting.
browsing. Now we're very lucky. We do have a choice. The new Firefox 2.0. If it's not out when you're hearing this, it will be out any day now. It's certainly out in beta, but there's no reason to rush. I mean, I would wait till the 2.0.
The betas are really stable, so if you're an early adopter and you really do want to run it, you can definitely do that. I'm running it as my daily browser. But I think if you're a little less adventurous and you want to wait, or you're running a production system and you don't want to mess it up, definitely wait for the release.
Well, if you want to get a little look at Mike and Jay's work right now, you can download it.
Exactly.
Yes. GetFirefox.com. Jay Goldman, Michael Glenn, it's great to have you. Congratulations to Radiant Core.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This exciting contract, and good luck in your future work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hopefully you guys will have us back on again.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe for 3.0, huh?
Sure.
Yeah,
great.
All right. Amber, it's been great to see you again.
It's been great to see you as well.
Go back to City TV.
Thank you. I've been released momentarily.
It's only been a brief reprieve, but we're glad to have you back in the Net community for just a moment or
two. It's wonderful to be back, and I'm always with you. Don't worry.
We'll see you next time, in spirit anyway. We'll see you next time inside the Net.
Yeah. Good.